Hello everyone, this is Matthew Frather with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Wednesday, August 4th newsletter. Tonight's newsletter is divided into four sections, as you can see via the table of contents. Number one, we'll take a quick look at the general market analysis and the index charts. I'm going to keep that brief and simple. No reason to overcomplicate things. The trend is up in the market, and it's up till it's not. Secondly, we'll take a look at some trade ideas, and I want to talk about the watch list. We have had tons and tons of long ideas on our watch list, and they're doing very well. That's been the thing to do in this market, is instead of focusing on the watch list instead of focusing on the indexes so much, just trade individual setups during the day. Today we had a couple really nice ones go, such as PR, PWDR, etc. And I'll talk about that below. Number three, I'm going to take a look at some of our key market indicators, talk about those. And lastly, number four, I'm going to talk about gold and precious metals. So let's go and get started. First off, a recap of today's action. The market once again closed positive today. The S&P and Dow gained 0.5% collectively. While the NASDAQ and NDX outperformed, they gained 0.9%. The Russell 2000 small caps gained about 1% today as well. Commodity-wise, crude oil dropped 10 cents, but gold rallied 8 bucks, though it closed well off of its highs. The U.S. dollar rallied today, and so that's probably one factor. So let's go and dive right into these charts. And first, we're going to look at the index charts. The first chart is a daily chart of the S&P 500. It goes back to the March 2009 lows where it bottomed. Here on this chart, again, very simple. No Elliott wave counts. It just has some key moving averages on here. The 200-day moving average in green, which the S&P 500 is now above. It's about 15 points above. So that's a positive. I also have the 13, 34 exponential moving averages. Those are Fibonacci numbers. And they're not perfect. They whipsaw from time to time, but also they catch trends. You can see I've highlighted where they've crossed in the past. And mostly they would have caught most of the uptrend in 2009 and most of the trend this year. Of course, the moving averages crossed recently here in mid-July. You can see the S&P 500 topped out in late April. Had a pretty good correction, a two-month correction. It formed a bull wedge. It found perfect support at the 38% Fibonacci retracement from the March lows to the April highs. It was just a few points off of that area. I think it was 4 points. And it's rallied up since then and broken out of this wedge and is above the 200-day moving average. So that's a positive. Now, the one negative here is the declining volume. So that is a concern. But again, higher prices are one thing to note. And remember, this is the summertime. So again, we'll see what happens here. You know, I would be a little bit cautious of the declining volume and a little bit of rising wedge here. I think overall the market is, you know, getting ready for probably at least a little pullback here in the short term. So you want to keep an eye on that. Of course, this week is the big jobs data. We have some data tomorrow, and of course the big numbers, unemployment numbers on Friday. So that's the key. I think the market could chop around until Friday, and then Friday the market could either gap up and rally again and burn the shorts, or that could be a reason for the market to finally pull back. Okay? So let's go ahead and take a look at the other charts. Chart number three is the second chart is just a longer-term 60-minute S&P 500 chart. And really, it's the same chart as the daily chart above. You could have these key exponential moving averages on here, the 85 and 221 EMAs, which are the same as the 1334 EMA, as well as the Arun oscillator to top, which has also been a pretty good trending indicator. Again, I've talked about this chart in many of my updates, so no reason to go over it anymore. And next, chart number four is a 60-minute S&P 500 chart. And again, this is something to watch here in the next day or two. You can see the S&P 500 is forming what could be a little rising wedge here. Again, if the market rallies strongly, there's resistance up there at 1130. If it takes that out and takes out the upper trend line, then this wedge will be negated. It could turn into an uptrend channel. So I wouldn't worry so much about the wedge at this time. I would watch the key uptrend support, the uptrend line from the July lows. If the market were just to sell off here strongly, watch to see if it finds support on that uptrend line. There is negative divergence on the MACD. You can see the MACD has made a series of three lower lows so far. So that is a divergence. And that is something to definitely take note of. Okay. Again, doesn't mean the market can't just surge from here and break out, but it could also be ready for some kind of pullback. Remember, even under a very bullish case, this whole move up could be a wave one, then we have a wave two pullback that retraces 20, 38 or 50% of the whole move up from the July lows. And so that's why you need to be aware of this divergence and, of course, the key support, which is that uptrend line. But you can see it's still quite far away. You know, the S&P could pull back a good 15 points, 15 or 20 points, and still be above that uptrend line. So it's definitely have some room to move down if it wants to. Of course, I would also watch the 60-period stochastics on this chart. As long as it stays above 80%, that's positive in my opinion. In short, the trend is up until it's not. Just keep an eye on the divergence here. Chart number 5 is a very simple chart of all the daily indexes, the S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, NDX, and Russell 2000. And on this chart, we have Bollinger Bands. It's a very simple chart, but again, just want to point out that we are at the upper portion of the Bollinger Bands. That is resistance. So again, don't be surprised if maybe we could push a little higher, but also if the market were to pull back here a little bit, because again, these Bollinger Bands can act as resistance or support, and we are at the top of them. Chart number 6 is a 30-minute S&P 500 chart, and this is definitely a chart to keep an eye on. It's like a chart that I like to keep note of, and this is maybe a chart setting that you want to keep an eye on for yourself. It's simply a 30-minute chart with Bollinger Bands. I find the 30-minute chart works well. Anyway, you can see that the Bollinger Bands are now tightening here, and generally that can preclude a big price movement. So it could either be to the upside or the downside, but it's definitely pointing to maybe a big move here. The market's really been consolidating here since August 3rd for the last couple days, and so it's probably due for some kind of either bust to the upside or to the downside. Again, with some of the divergence in place here, wouldn't be surprised if we do get a pullback. Watch the 60-period stochastics on this 30-minute chart. You can see it's been above 80% for 3 days, so if it crosses below 80%, that could give you a trigger. Chart number 7 is a 15-minute S&P 500 chart. And again, you can see, S&P formed a triangle here, broke out in late July, and has been moving up in a choppy fashion in August here. Anyway, we have negative divergence setting up on the 15-minute chart as the MACD is declining here. So again, that's why I say be on the lookout for at least maybe a short-term pullback. And so while playing longs have been the way to go, just be a little bit more cautious here. Be a little more picky. You don't want to get trapped in a long that breaks out and then reverses suddenly. Watch the 89 and 144 period stochastics on these 15-minute charts. Those appear to be nice triggers. You can see they've been above 80% for 3 days. As you know, I like to use these custom stochastics. I think they work well. I think they give high probability trades. Chart number 8 is a 60-minute chart of the Russell 2000. And again, the Russell 2000, you can see maybe forming some kind of triangle pattern in this uptrend channel here. There's also a little bitty triangle within the pattern. So overall, I think it will resolve itself here out of this triangle anytime. So that does it for the major indexes. Now, let's look at the next chart. Chart number 9 is a 60-minute chart of the VXX. This is the ETF to the VIX, the Volatility Index, which moves inversely correlated to the S&P 500. This is also on the watch list. I have this on the watch list in case the market wants to pull back some. You can see the VIX is in a bullish falling wedge here. Support is the lower trend line. Resistance is the upper trend line of the wedge. There's divergence here too. So if the market decides to pull back or have a decent pullback, this could give you a trade setup if it breaks out of this wedge, the resistance of the downtrend lines. Also use your 60-period stochastics at the bottom for a confirmation. So if that 60-period stochastics crosses up and the VIX were to cross up out of this wedge, I think that would give you a trade, and that would be at least a warning for the market to have a short-term pullback, okay? This is also on the watch list, guys, okay? And chart number 10 is a chart of the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar, as you know, bottomed in November of last year, had a really strong rally halfway this year into early June. It topped out in a fifth wave move with negative divergence, and it's had a really nice pullback from the June highs. That pullback has been a nice downtrend channel, as you can see. But, as I've been commenting, the dollar is now nearing some support area. There's the 200-day moving average right here in red. You can see the dollar was up today, 0.37%. So again, this is starting to get to an area where I think the dollar is going to at least try to put in a bounce. Our 89 period stochastics at the bottom is now below 20%. It's oversold. That's where I wanted to see it. So again, be on the lookout for maybe at least a bounce in the dollar here. A rally in the dollar here, I think, would cause the market to pull back. So that is something to watch. There's a positive divergence here on the MACD histogram as well. So that, again, that will give some fuel for the dollar to at least have a bounce here. But because the regular MACD doesn't have any positive divergence, I think a bounce in the dollar here will be short-lived and we'll have one more pullback after that. Now, let's move to the second part of this newsletter. I want to talk about the watch list and trade ideas discussion. You can see this in item number 11. What has been working in this market is plain individual stock setups, unless you trade futures, etc. But instead of trying to play index ETFs, the easiest thing has been to trade individual long setups. And we've had tons of these. Just go ahead and take a look at the watch list. We have well over 20, 25 trade ideas on a watch list. We have over 20 that are on a triggered watch list that have triggered and broken out and are positive. Only one of them is down. And we have quite a few on our untriggered list. Again, trading individual setups is what has worked in this market. And I'm still seeing a lot of good setups. So today, for example, chart number 12, PWRD on the watch list. Very nice breakout. As you can see, it was up over 11%. Resistance was this downtrend line of the neckline. And had an inverse head and shoulder pattern here. I'd say a good target area is that 27 or 28.75 area, or the gap area. But again, after a nice 10 to 11% gain in one day, it's prudent to take some off the table. Sell half, lock in some profits, and move your stop up to your entry point. That way, you cannot take a loss. If it goes all the way down, you'll still at least make 5%. Okay, but again, this is a great trade idea that was on the watch list, broke out today in a big way. And we've been having a lot of these. I've noticed that there's a lot of these stocks that have these inverse head and shoulder patterns. And so that's one thing that keeps me positive in the market is we're seeing a lot of these things. For example, chart number 13 is Walmart. I put this on the watch list today. It hasn't broken out yet, but Walmart has a potential inverse head and shoulder here as well. Resistance is about 51.85 or so over that neckline. There's, of course, the 200-day moving average above to contend with. But if it can take that out, Walmart measures up to about 55. So that would be a nice little, 10% gain for you. I think your initial stop could go at 50.50. So you're only risking, just a little over a buck to make $5. So pretty good risk-reward. Again, you can see an inverse head and shoulder pattern. Chart number 14 is FAS. I put this on a watch list as well. It's financials. Now, this is the three-time ETF. It's quite volatile, but the risk-reward setup here isn't bad. Resistance is 24.25. I think you could put a stop at 23. And we could probably have a quick move up at least to 29. So there you go. Some other charts that have inverse head and shoulder patterns are Cisco, which you can see in the next chart, chart number 15 is Cisco, this inverse head and shoulder pattern. This is on the watch list. It broke out today. It measures up way up there to about 26.5, 27 area. We'll see if it can make it there or not. If these inverse head and shoulders play out, then the market is going much higher over time. Maybe it'll pull back here in the short term, but it'll go much higher if these inverse head and shoulder patterns play out. So we'll just have to see. But again, Cisco, take a look at this chart. It broke out today, but notice how it stopped 2 cents away from the 200-day moving average. 200-day moving average is 24.27. The high on Cisco today was 24.25. So that's why I have these moving averages on these charts, folks, because they are players and they are things to take note of when you're trading these stocks. But overall, let's our stop is in place at 23. We're giving it some room. Let's hope it can go higher over time and play out. I apologize for my voice tonight, folks. I'm not sure why, but a very raspy voice. Maybe I'm getting sick or something. Let's look at the third part of the newsletter, item number 3. Take a look at our key indicators. And our key indicator table is available on the website. It's in the long-term tools section. You can see a number 17. As Steve and I have stated before, all of our intermediate indicators have been on buy signals. You can see all the green arrows. You can see the intermediate charts for the S&P and the NASDAQ have all been on buy signals since June and July for weeks now. So the market has been trending up. That's how those are useful. If you're trading the market on, you know, anywhere from a few weeks to a month or two, use the intermediate indicators. Now, our long-term indicators, three of them are still on sell signals, okay? But don't let that, you know, discourage you or anything. That's how these long-term indicators are. They don't roll over easy. However, a couple more of these are close to crossing back up, and I'll discuss those below. Well, let's just take a look at these indicators quickly. Chart number 18 is the NASI with the 3 EMA. That's one of the short-term indicators that I use and is in the table. You can see this indicator went on a buy signal on July 9th. Again, so not too bad. Again, this indicator whipsaws from time to time, but that's how these indicators are useful. And you can see it's still moving higher. Chart number 19 is another NASI indicator that's on that table. And basically the same thing. It gave a buy signal on the 19th. Chart number 20 is a weekly chart of the NASI. Again, it's another one of these intermediate indicators. Chart number 21 is the NYSI indicator. This is one of my favorite intermediate indicators. It uses a 5-3 stochastics overlay and a 5-period RSI. This indicator went on a buy signal in early June, which was too early for the market to market out of bounds, and then it pulled in again, but it stayed on a buy signal. And it's finally worked its way back up to overbought. So this is one thing to note. Again, it's taken, you know, it's taken basically 2 months for this indicator to do this. This indicator is a nice intermediate indicator. The signals tend to be anywhere from 1 to about 2 to 2.5 months apart. So it's a nice indicator for those of you looking for swing trades or longer term swing trades. But again, in the very short term, you can see here, it's finally overbought, so it's now something to keep an eye on. Again, it will not give a sell signal until it crosses to the downside, okay? So just because it's overbought doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's on a sell signal or that you should go out and short the market. No. You need to wait for this to cross to the downside, okay? But it's finally up here, and that's just one thing I want to let you know. Looking at a few of our longer-term indicators, chart number 22 is the NYSI. Again, but this is a cumulative plot. This went on a buy signal on July 19th. And you can see it went on a sell signal on May 24th. And so, you know, a couple months later went back on a buy signal. And but that's how this indicator does. Once in a while these long-term indicators will whipsaw or flip within a month. But they'll also give signals that last 6 months or a year. You can see the last buy signal was on April 1st of 2009 and an S&P 500 was 845. So it stayed on a buy signal from April to May 24th. So that was about a month and 1 year. So that was a long signal. So that's why it's one of our long-term indicators. Chart number 23 is another one of our long-term indicators. It's the ratio of the NYSE, new highs, new lows, to the NASDAQ, new highs, new lows. And this indicator, you can take a look at the history. It's been very good. It's been good since 2006, but not good before that. Okay, but I listed the prices on the S&P 500 when this signal system has triggered. You can see it's been very well. It gave a fantastic buy on March 17th of 2009 last year when the S&P 500 was 778. So it triggered just a little bit off the lows. It kept you in that long until March 30th of this year. So it kept you in 1 year. Again, it's a long-term signal or indicator system. Anyway, it's getting close to crossing back to the upside again. You can see the circle. You can see the lines are getting close, so that's one to watch. It may go back positive again soon. We'll just have to see. And item number 24, I give you a list of a table here with the S&P 500, the buy and sell signals, the dates of the this indicator above when they triggered, and the points that it gained or lost. You can see it's done very well. It gained anywhere, 200 points, 300, 400 points several times. It lost 52 points once there. So it's been a pretty good indicator. Lastly, let's look at the last part of the newsletter. Item number 25, gold and precious metals. Gold rallied today. As you can see, it was up 870, but it was closed well off of its highs. You can see gold logically rallied off the 150-day moving average that I've been discussing over the last 2 weeks, that 150-day moving average in green. That was logical support. We rallied right off of it. And there was positive divergence on the MACD histogram below as well. I think gold's a little bit short-term overbought here, but we did form a wedge, and we've bounced. The one thing that concerns me is there was no positive divergence in a regular MACD. But again, we've bounced logically off the 150-day moving average. Looking at gold stocks, chart number 27 is the weekly GDX chart. And again, I've had this chart for many, many weeks. And GDX rallied off the uptrend weekly support line. So it held there. And again, major long-term resistance is that upper trend line up at the highs. If the GDX can ever break out of that, it would be super bullish. In fact, I have it on the watch list as a long-term, long trade idea that I think will break out later this fall. Chart number 28 is a 60-minute GDX chart. GDX rallied out of this bull wedge, out of the 60-minute chart, and it's been rallying up here the last week or so. So it's done quite well. It's retraced almost 38%. So it's one thing to note. It's had a pretty good move here. Chart number 29 is the BPGDM. This is the Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. And this still has not yet given a buy signal, which is quite interesting. The BPGDM is right on the 8-day moving average, as you can see. It's been on the 8-day moving average for many days now, really for 4 or 5 days. And the BPGDM has flatlined in mid-July at 45.16. And it caught up with the 8-day moving average and has been riding on top of it. So I think this will cross any time. I wish it would have crossed a day or two ago because gold stocks have obviously rallied off the bottom, but that's how the system is. But one thing I talk about today is that notice how long the BPGDM has been on top of the 8-day moving average. Generally, whenever it rides the 8-day moving average, it will resolve in the next direction. So that should have given us a clue that gold stocks would rally. So it's one thing to note. Below are a few individual gold stocks that I've talked about in the newsletters and have done quite well. Chart number 30 is ANV. Had this in the newsletter a couple weeks ago as a nice low-risk trade idea off the 200-day moving average. Hope some of you took it because it's had a nice move. Unfortunately, I didn't put it on the watch list. Should have, but again, I did talk about it. Chart number 31 is UXG. Also talked about this one as when it was outperforming. You can see my comments on July 22nd. You can see it's been moving up steadily. Chart number 32 is GOLD, Ringgold, and this one looks pretty good here. It's forming a bullish wedge, so this is one to watch. If it can clear that resistance, I think it'll have a nice upside move. And the next couple charts are gold stocks as well, NSU and TRE, which were also discussed in the Commodity Weekend newsletter. So let's see what happens tomorrow, guys, and I will see you in the trading community tomorrow. Hopefully my voice is better. I hope I'm not getting sick. Definitely feel like I've struggled a little bit through this update, maybe because I am getting down with something. So anyway, let's see what happens in the market tomorrow, and I will talk to you later. Thank you.